You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And bringing in a big timer, former Mr. Basketball, current coach in Lake Region. We got Ryan Martin joining us tonight on Big Time Hoops. Ryan, what's going on, man? I want to start off. I've been starting off every episode. Like, how's the pandemic treating you? Like, how are you doing right now?
It's tough. I mean, missing the kids, missing coaching, missing teaching. But I think there's a lot of good that come out of this too. And just trying to enjoy my time at home and spending time with family when I can.
So you mentioned the kids. Obviously, you're a coach. Guessing you're a teacher as well, correct?
Yeah, I teach at Acton, so I'm a phys ed teacher there, and then coach basketball at Lake Region.
So what's it like being a teacher right now? Are you still actively teaching, doing the online thing, or like you pretty much done for the year at this point? I mean,
it's strange as a phys ed teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
So I post some videos for the kids to try, so they respond back to me, and then I also have some Zoom workouts too that some teachers join on and some students join on. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool time bringing everyone together too.
Yeah. What grades do you teach?
It's another thing that makes it tough. It's kindergarten through eighth grade. So that's why it's a huge range of ages.
Right. Real quick, just a random question before we dive into your past. So like with the younger kids, what's your go-to phys ed game? What's the one game you're all about? Like if you're going to teach a class for the first time, what are you going to bust out for phys ed?
I mean, if it's the young group, it's got to be the parachute. I mean, I think everyone growing up too, everyone – all my friends that I talk to too, their elementary PE memories are all about the parachute. So
absolutely, yeah. Now that you mentioned it, can't go wrong there.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so obviously coaching down at Lake Region now, but not a Lake Region alum. So graduate of Maranica, but we're gonna go back, and I want to know how you came up. So where were you actually born and raised?
In Wayne, Maine.
All right. For those who don't know, where exactly is Wayne?
Wayne's near Winthrop, near Augusta. So I went to Maranica High School in Reedfield.
And Maranica's made up of just like surrounding towns, right? It's kind of like one school for multiple towns.
Correct. Yeah, it's a community school, four towns: Wayne, Manchester, Reedfield, and Mount Vernon.
And then you grew up in Wayne itself. So what was it like coming up in Wayne? I'm guessing Wayne is probably a small town. It's probably a bunch of small towns that feed into one school. So
yeah,
what's your earliest recollections of basketball growing up in Wayne?
Yeah, I mean, Wayne is actually the smallest of the four towns that go to Maranicook. Growing up in the town of Wayne, just a great town to be in. In the summer, there's a lot of tourists that come there. And, yeah, growing up in Wayne, I had one of my neighbors end up being one of my teammates in high school, Will Bardaglio. And he was one of the better players on our team. And just being able to play against him every day. And his cousin, Kevin Leary, who was a year older than us, he played on our team at Maranicook too. He then went on to play at UMF. So just being able to play with those guys every single day, I think just really made us better basketball players and really made us enjoy and love the game.
Yeah, so how about the actual household? So do you come from a basketball family, or is it one of those things where you're just like the first one in the family to kind of get into it?
No, my dad's a big basketball guy. Tough thing about my dad is he's only 5'3". So he couldn't – I mean, he didn't really go too far after high school. He played a little bit in college, but – I think my dad just has that competitiveness, and he's just a natural athlete. And my mom, too. My mom's a real good athlete, but in her day, the thing to do is be a cheerleader. So she talks about regretting that all the time, how she didn't play basketball in high school, but, I mean, she could have been a good basketball player, too. And, of course, my sister, Toby Martin, she played professional basketball in Germany. She played Division II basketball at Franklin Pierce, and they went on to the national championship on ESPN and lost there. So definitely my family – has basketball in our blood.
Growing up, what was the team to root for in the household? Were you guys Celtics fans growing up, or were you guys just basketball fans in general and just watching hoops, or what was that like growing up?
Yeah, my dad, I think, was always a New England sports fan. So if you did anything other than root against the Celtics, then you would have to do that. So we always followed the Celtics. But like you said, we were just a basketball family. So anytime a big basketball game was on, we'd be watching.
Yeah, and I'm only a couple years older than you, so we probably watched a lot of the same guys growing up. So just curious, like, who were some of your maybe not to be role models, but who were some of the guys you liked growing up? Because I feel like growing up, the time we grew up, there was a bunch of just a lot of fun NBA guys to watch. I'm just curious, like, who were you a fan of growing up?
Yeah, I mean, when I was really young, it was Michael Jordan. I mean, he was obviously the guy. And then he came back to play for the Wizards. I think I was like 9 or 10 years old then. But, I mean, Allen Iverson, like you said, maybe not the greatest role model to look up to, but he was just a guy that – super fun guy to watch play basketball. And someone growing up like me, who small in stature too, and just watching someone like him thrive in the NBA and just how tough of a player he was. I mean, I really loved watching Allen Iverson play. I just thought he was a winner and he was competitive. And he's a guy that played through injury. And he's just as tough as it gets, as skilled as it gets. And he was just a really fun player to watch.
Absolutely. So curious, when did you get into actual team basketball? So you mentioned some of the kids you grew up with, just playing probably in the backyard and stuff like that. Yeah. How about actual organized basketball? What was your earliest introduction to organized hoops out there in Wayne?
Yeah, so Reedfield Elementary School, I was in second grade, and I was playing in a third and fourth grade league. It was my first basketball game, and I remember playing against Mike Poulin, and Mike Poulin was the point guard of my high school team who went on to play at USM. And so my first basketball game ever and his first basketball game ever, we were playing against each other. And actually the first point of the game, I scored, but I scored on the wrong hoop. So I gave the other team 2 points. But, yeah, I remember that game. I remember just guarding him. I remember his dad, Dave Poulin, who's a big basketball guy. He coached at Winthrop for many years, won a state championship or two there. And I just remember him talking to us before the game and just saying how this is going to be the backcourt in a few years. And I really remember that pretty vividly, actually, just playing against Mike and having that be our first game.
So curious. I mean, obviously, the guys you're mentioning right now, you guys did pretty good in high school, which we'll get to. You guys had some success. But curious, what's like the tradition at Marinacook? Like, is it a proud tradition, just a lot of great basketball history, or – is it one of those things where you guys just came along and, I mean, obviously you guys reached the highest of the highs, but just curious, growing up, what was Marinacook basketball like when you were a kid?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I know when I was probably in early elementary school, I remember looking up to Brian Garrity, and he was the big player at Marinacook. He wanted to play at Bates, and he was the really fun guy to watch, and he was also always to talk to us young guys, too. I remember I'd go there at the games, and he always talked to me after, and I remember always wanting to be like Brian Garrity when I was a little kid. And then once I got a little older into middle school, they had a really talented team with Charlie Callaghan and Matt St. John, Caleb Violet. They had a lot of good players then too. I know they were super talented that year, but just couldn't put it all together. I know they lost to Erskine in the first round that year. And then after that, I think we had a big run. Now I know lately too, they've had Cash McClure right now, who's, I think he's a stud. He's playing really well. And his dad, Aaron McClure, has been a coach in that program for the middle school and the rec, and he does a great job of getting everyone excited about basketball. I know the last 10, 15 years, Marinacook, everyone's been really excited about the basketball program there.
I had never heard of Marinacook until my junior year of high school, and then we had to play Marinacook in a prelim. And it was the guys you just mentioned. It was Caleb Violet and Matt St. John, right? That was one of them?
Matt St. John, yep.
And we went in there, and I think we had it like – we were down like 8 at halftime, which we were proud of because it was like a 6-11 game. So, like, we were the really big underdog. We wound up losing by like 35. Like, they just killed us in the second half.
But they were a loaded team. They could have done damage, but just couldn't put together at the right time.
So, obviously, Marinacook has strung together a nice little string of success. As you mentioned, they just lost in the state championship game this year, and Cash McClure is doing things. So, big fan of his, by the way, too. Like, I watched that title game, and I was like, this kid is nice. So, obviously, good things happening. Before you got to Marinacook, just curious, were you into the travel basketball scene at all, or were you more basketball camps in the summertime? Just curious, before high school, what were you doing to get better? Was it just strictly organized ball? Was it camps? What were you up to?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of everything. The thing about my dad, too, is he never pushed me to do anything. It was just kind of he wanted me to love the game on my own. And so I did a lot of playing in the driveway. Like I said, Wilbur Dagley and I would play all the time. Kevin Leary, his cousin. So just a lot of that growing up before high school. I know I went to 5-star basketball camp when I was in sixth grade, and I was actually roommates with Seth Curry. I remember his dad coming too. And I remember Steph came into our room too at 5-star camp, but I didn't know who Steph was at the time.
Yeah, he wasn't Steph at that point.
Right. So it wasn't a big deal, but Dell was the big deal. So I remember just being pumped up about seeing him. But yeah, so that was the big camp I went to growing up, but mainly it was just a lot of playing in the driveway. And our guys in our area, Will, Mike, and myself, we all had a little travel team too.
Obviously, you guys play probably year-round, but curious if you play other sports growing up too, or was it just strictly basketball from day one? That was it?
No, our parents always preached to us about the importance of playing multiple sports. And yeah, we all three of us, Will, Mike, and myself, we played soccer, we played basketball, we played baseball. And, I mean, obviously there are times where you run into conflicts where I know in high school we're trying to play baseball, high school baseball, then playing AAU basketball. So there are times we'd leave right after a baseball game to drive to an AAU basketball game. And there are times where it was tough and it was crazy, but we definitely didn't just play basketball year-round. We made sure to play all three sports.
But basketball, you guys had some success. So coming in as a freshman, what was your freshman year? Would have been, what, 04?
05.
My freshman 05. Year. So the guys we talked about that I played against when we got smacked by in the prelim game, those guys probably all would have been gone by the time you got there your freshman year, right?
Yeah, they were seniors when I was in eighth grade, so they left when I was coming in as a freshman.
So a bunch of talent leaves, you come in as a freshman. What's the current state of Marana Cook basketball? Obviously some really talented teams. Was there some upperclassmen there to kind of sustain that success? Or was it kind of like a rebuild when you got there as a freshman?
Yeah, I think going in, everyone was thinking it was going to be a rebuild year because of the guys that they lost the year before. We had Logan Garrity, who was actually Brian Garrity's younger brother. So he was a senior my freshman year, and he was really the only returner that played a lot of minutes in for the team before. And I mean, he was a really good player that year, and I know I definitely had to step up, and I had a much bigger season and much bigger role that year than I thought I was going to. And we actually ended up making it to a prelim game against Mountain View, and we lost to Mountain View in triple overtime at our place. And I remember our goal is really just to get to the tournament. We wanted to be able to play one game in the auditorium and just get that feel. You know, people talk about that all the time, about how important it is just to be able to play a game in the auditorium. And unfortunately, we didn't get to do that my freshman year, but it made us a lot more hungry, I think, for us coming into sophomores.
Yeah, so you talked about how your parents aren't the biggest in terms of size, and you didn't top out too tall yourself. Curious, as a freshman, how big were you coming in to high school basketball?
I was 5'6" my first day as a freshman, but I was 5'8" before my first basketball practice.
So all right.
Not bad.
What was the biggest adjustment for you? You mentioned how your freshman year wound up being a little bit better than probably you expected and probably better than what others expected. Just curious, what was your biggest thing that you had to adjust to? Because, you're a fast, speedy guy, and that's usually what the biggest adjustment is the speed of the game. Just curious, what was your biggest adjustment?
Yeah, going to high school, I think it was just the length of the players. I remember turning the basketball over a lot as a freshman. I remember just passes that would have been there in middle school. The passing lanes closed up a lot quicker because of the speed and the length of players. And I remember just having to make that adjustment. Passes that you're able to make simply just over the top of defenders when you're in elementary school and middle school didn't go well at being a high school basketball player or varsity high school basketball player. So it was mainly just making adjustments to those things and take care of the basketball.
And you guys lost to Mountain View. Looking back on them, though, like what was you mentioned like the adjustments you had to make, but what was like your first like, oh, wow, moment? Could have been a player you're going up against or like an environment, a team, an opposing gym you were in. Do you have like that moment that kind of stood out like as your introduction to Maine High School basketball?
I remember playing at Camden Hills. It was my second game as a varsity player. And I remember Will Horn was the guy that was guarding me. He was a senior and I was a freshman. And, I just remember them being a really good team. I remember the atmosphere at Camden was crazy. The gym was packed. And I remember just not being able to score like I was used to. I remember getting frustrated not being able to score. And it was hard for me to get open. I remember he was just doing a great job denying me the basketball. And there were just things that I wasn't used to. I wasn't used to the physicality. I wasn't used to that pressure and just the speed of the game.
You played Camden at a time when Camden was probably the program and team at the time for Class B basketball. I mean, they were just pumping out state championships and great players left and right. So tough just to go play there, let alone your second game as a freshman. So
exactly. They went on to be state 05. They were state champs, I believe, too.
So you mentioned playing Camden. Just curious, for those that aren't familiar, Wayne, Maine, and Marinacook kind of located centrally in the state. What was the schedule like? Who were you guys playing? Who was on the actual schedule for you guys? Would have been Class B, right? Class B basketball at the time.
Yeah, KBAC Class B. We played Camden. We played Lincoln Academy. Played Mount View. Played Oak Hill. Played Gardner. Madomic Valley. So those are the type of teams that we played.
So not a very easy schedule. I mean, a lot of the teams you named, like, those are usually year in and year out, or especially at that time, like, you were going up against some very talented kids that were at those schools at that time.
Yeah, there were. I mean, I remember the Peasley – I don't know if you remember the Peasley twins. They played at Lincoln Academy. They were both guards. They were a great duo at Lincoln Academy. Matt McKenzie at Madomic Valley. He was a great player there. So, yeah, it's Kyle Stilfen and Sean McNally at Gardner. There's a lot of big names and a lot of good players that came out of KVCB.
Yeah, a lot of big guys. You mentioned McNally and McKenzie and guys like that. But you guys weren't known for size. You guys were a small, speedy bunch. So coming into your sophomore year, obviously you got that experience as a freshman. Maybe did a little bit better than you had expected, maybe better than what others had expected. Sophomore year, things turned out a little bit better for you guys. Just kind of explain the journey your sophomore year.
Yeah, I think a lot of that had to do with just how hungry we were, and especially us, our group of sophomores, and how much we played in the summer together, and just how much we competed, and how much we all just hated to lose. And our sophomore year, we went 17-1, I think. We lost one game. And the biggest thing that I remember about my sophomore year is just our senior leadership. There's Bryce Spalding and Jimmy Palmer and Dylan Collins. They were three seniors on our team that were okay with all the glory going to Mike, Will, and myself. So that, I think that is one of the hardest things for high school kids to do, especially 16, 17-year-old kids to do, is to allow someone younger than you to get all the glory, and especially them, too, who had been there longer than us, and they probably thought it was their time. But them just stepping aside and understanding their role for the betterment of the team was really – what I remember about my sophomore year. And it just made Mike, Will, and myself just able to play our game too, and it made our team as good as we could be.
So what was the style of play? What kind of game were you guys playing? Obviously, you guys were a bunch of speedy, quick guards. How did Marinacook play at that time?
Yeah, we had a lot of freedom. Coach Rob Schmidt gave us a lot of freedom. And that's how we played growing up too, with Mike's dad, like I mentioned earlier, Dave Pullen. We played travel basketball with him. And so we played the same way. We did a run and jump defense, full court pressure. And the first good shot we saw, we take. And kind of our strategy was that we wanted the game to go up and down. We wanted as many possessions as possible because I think we thought we were a talented team and a more talented team than any other team that we'd see. So we wanted as many possessions in the game as possible.
So you mentioned going 17-1 in the regular year. Goal of yours your freshman year was to get the Bangor, just get that experience. You guys didn't get that your freshman year, so your first time in the auditorium would have been that sophomore year. I'm guessing you guys probably went as the one seed, right?
Yep, we were the one seed.
Your first impressions of the Bangor auditorium as a player, and I'm just curious as well, like, had you been to the auditorium before as a fan to watch games growing up, or was your first game in the auditorium your first time there? Just curious.
Oh, no, I've been there a lot growing up. I mean, my dad is kind of – he's from Aroostook County, so he'd always just, like, talk about the Bangor Auditorium all the time. And so he'd bring me there as a kid quite a bit. But my first time playing there was my sophomore year, and we played against Madinacook, who had Derek Libby on their team at the time, who was a real good player.
Yep.
And I remember everyone telling us, too, that they weren't a typical eight seed, and it was going to be a tough game and a tough draw for us. And it was. It was a real tight game all the way to the fourth quarter. I think we ended up winning by 12 or 15 points, but that was a really hard first round draw for us. But sometimes if you can just get by that first game, and I think it tends to get easier after that, which is a strange thing to think. But that first game always seems to be so tough, the auditorium.
And your first impressions of the auditorium, being on the floor, looking up, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're a kid and you kind of go to games, you look forward to one day being there. Just curious what you thought first time being on the floor itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. As a kid, you dream of playing in front of as many people as possible, and that's something I always wanted to do. So for me, it was just trying to take advantage of the moment. And I remember enjoying it. I remember just thriving. I couldn't wait for that moment to play in front of that many people. And just the feeling of it, the Bingo Auditorium too, just the bleachers go straight up too. So it feels like the crowd is right on top of you, which was a pretty cool feeling.
Real quick, I got to go back to it. I got to find out. You said your dad's from the county. Where in the county is your dad from?
From Van Buren.
Van Buren. Okay, that's right next door. I'm from Fort Kent, so it's like 30 miles away. So John Valley.
My dad, he went to UMFK. That's where he played back.
Oh, me too. I'm a mater right there. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. Got to show love to the county when I can and back home. So obviously a little bit of a tougher game than maybe you had expected. Your first game there, sophomore year. What about the next two games to get to the state game? Did you guys just kind of run through the competition from there? Or was it some more battles?
Our semifinal game my sophomore year is against Madomic Valley. So a team that we'd played a couple times in the regular season. But again, I remember the story of that game was everyone telling us how hard it is to beat a team three times in a row. And so I know playing against Madomic Valley is another battle. I think we ended up winning that game by 15 or 20 points. But I know the score, it was a lot closer than the score shows. And our Eastern Conference, or the Eastern Main Final, was against Presque Isle. They were the number two seed. So some big names there with Greg Whitaker, Chris Coffin, and McGlynn. So they had three really good players in their team. And although we were the one seed, it just felt like they were the favorite team and they were the team that was expected to win because they had three seniors. We were three sophomores. Our main guys were sophomores. Their main guys were seniors. And they had the experience. They'd been there before. And they had a lead on us. I don't know, they're up by about 8 or 9 points in the third quarter. And this is when I think our senior leadership came to play because I remember Jimmy Palmer just getting the team together when we easily could have folded, but our senior leadership kept us in the game. And then we took over at the end. We ended up beating them and then going on to beat Mountain Valley in the state championship.
Shout out to Prescott. That's the team that got me out my senior year. I lost to those guys at the auditorium my senior year. They were good. They were a tough bunch of guys right there.
Definitely were.
So who'd you beat in the state game again? You said Mountain Valley?
Yeah, so Mountain Valley, and that was Andy Shorey. He was on that team.
Yeah, that was a good team.
DJ Garish played at UMF. He was on that team too. So, yeah, Mountain Valley is a real good team. And I remember Wilbur Daglio really stepped up that game. I mean, they did a good job defending me. And I think Will had 20 or 25 points, hit a few threes. And he was just a real big-time player, big-time shooter.
So not a bad way to end your sophomore year. I mean, you got to be feeling good about the future. But one thing I didn't know, I went back and I did some reading a little while back, and I didn't realize you were All-State. I think Bangor Daily News, All-State first team your sophomore year, right?
Yeah. And what I remember about that, too, is just the list of guys. And it was Carlos Strong, and Bryant Barr, Jordan Cook. It was me and then one other player. So it was just all guys that I looked up to growing up. So I remember I felt good being on the list.
Not a bad list to be on right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you mentioned your three best players were sophomores. You guys are coming up a state championship. And thinking you guys got to be thinking at that point, we're going to win the next two after this and just go three in a row.
Yeah. I think as kids, as 15, 16-year-olds, that's just what you expect is going to happen. And, I mean, I remember, too, a junior in our team on the bus ride home after winning the state championship. He was a player that – he wasn't happy on the ride home. I remember I didn't understand why he wasn't happy. We just won a state championship. And he wasn't happy because he didn't play well. But then he told me, he's like, I'll enjoy the state championship next year and I'm a senior. And that was just like the attitude of kids is that we just thought it'd be no problem. We'd be able to win another state championship. Or at least some of us, that was our thought process. And it definitely isn't like that. I think you win one, but the second one's even harder.
Yeah.
And I know you hear guys in the NBA who win a championship, they say the second one is sweeter than the first one, the third one is sweeter than the second one. So it just gets harder and harder every time, which makes it feel better and better when you do accomplish that goal. So, yeah, my junior year, we got upset in the first round. We were undefeated throughout the season, but MCI beat us in the first round.
Was it a 1-8 matchup?
1-8 matchup,
yeah. Oh, okay. So what was the final score? Or how close was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was close. It was super low score, and Wilbur Daglio was out with mono. He was sick, so he didn't play. And then Mike Poulin was in foul trouble. I know he got three fouls in the first few minutes of the game. So we were definitely shorthanded. It was low scoring. It was like 48-42.
That's not the way you guys played right there.
And no, for us, I mean, we're averaging 75 points a game. So for us, that was not the style we wanted to play. And MCI did a great job, though. They had a good game plan to stop us, and they executed it.
So I'm curious if after winning your sophomore year, going into your junior year, how hard you attacked that offseason versus maybe how hard you attacked your junior season going into your senior season. You know, being a champion sophomore year, did you kind of maybe take the foot off the gas a little bit in terms of preparation, getting ready for your junior year, and then like the loss your junior year fueled you even more for your senior year? Or were you just intense and just trying to get better every summer?
Yeah, I was pretty driven growing up, and I really wanted to be the best basketball player. There's really nothing else that I was on my mind in the summer other than being the best basketball player I could be. And actually, I trained pretty hard going into my junior year because I got a stress fracture in my back from overtraining. So I couldn't play soccer my junior year because of a stress fracture. And I had to wear a back brace actually for the first few games as a junior for basketball. So there definitely wasn't any – I didn't definitely take my foot off the gas. If anything, going into my senior year, I realized how to be a smarter training and knowing that I can't be out in the driveway 5 or 6 hours every single day with all that impact. So just learn how to train smarter going into a senior.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned that I don't think kids do anymore, well, they might be doing it now with the pandemic going on, but is being in the driveway. You know, I don't think kids are in the driveway now like people used to do back in the day. So just curious, like what were your actual workouts like and how did you attack your off seasons? Were you like, okay, I want to narrow in and focus on this thing. I'm going to add this to my game, or I want to get bigger, stronger. I want to work on that. Like, just curious how you went about setting your off-season goals and what your actual workouts looked like.
Yeah, it's actually funny you said that about a driveway workout, because John McCallion played at Bangor, then at UMaine. He actually came over to my house the other day, and we put together a couple of videos of driveway workouts for kids to do. So we're actually going to send that out to some kids so that way they know during this time some things that they can do to improve their game with only having one or two basketballs, a hoop, and just a little bit of space is all you need to really become a better player. But yeah, for me, every summer there was something different I wanted to get better at, something that if it was either taking 200 or 300 jump shots every single day, or if it was making sure I had a tighter handle or becoming a little quicker laterally. I know that was a struggle for me. I wanted to be able to guard quick point guards. When I was playing AAU, I know I'd match up with some really quick guards, and I wanted to be able to stay in front of them. So I know going into my senior year, that was a big focus for me. And always just trying to become stronger, knowing being a little guy, you got to take any advantage you can get. And not being 6'1", 6'2", I had to be stronger than those guys. I'd be quicker than those guys that were 6'1", 6'2".
And then obviously senior year, you guys got back to the top. So just curious how your senior year went, and just curious if I'm guessing that loss the year before fueled you and your teammates, and just the intensity level that you guys played with from start to finish, I'm guessing was just a little bit maybe higher than what it had it been if you guys maybe didn't lose in the first round the year before.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely – I don't think any of us thought we were going to lose our senior year. I mean, just going into that, we weren't going to allow it to happen. There were a lot of games our senior year, actually, we blew teams out. And I know we didn't even play in fourth quarters of – probably 16 or 17 or 18 regular season games. We were really focused that year, and we really just had one goal to win a state championship. But what I do remember about that run is playing against Rockland in the first round, and Rockland brought us all the way to the wire. There was another 1-8 game. So I know in all of our heads, we're thinking, man, the same thing happened last year. And I was like, this can't happen again. But we were down by one with 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, and we ended up pulling that one out and beating Rockland in the first round, but they were a lot tougher draw than I think a lot of us expected.
And then who'd you guys get through to get to states? Who else did you guys go through in the Eastern Main tournament?
Yeah, we played Matanuck in the semis. So we played against Derek Libby again when he was a senior. So we knocked them out, and then we had Camden Hills in the championship game, which was a crazy game. Like, we went up by 30 points, and then Camden Hills put in all their bench players, and they brought it all the way back down to 8. They had a huge comeback with their bench. And then we ended up making another run, too, and winning by 20, 25 points. That was the high-scoring, crazy game. And then in the state championship, we played against Shane Burks and Cape Elizabeth.
And I was at that game. I actually went to that game. So my grandfather worked for a paper, and he had the press passes. And he's like, if you want to go, just, you know, give me my credentials and you can sit in press row as they used to have at the auditorium. So I was there for the state game in what would have been, what, 08, 09?
That was 08.
I remember hearing about this Ryan Martin kid. So I was like, I got to go check this out. I got to go see what this kid's about here. So and I remember like watching you in warmups, and you had like a little routine you used to do, right? Is that something you did before every game?
Yeah, I was very superstitious with routines. I know for me, I'd have a ball handling routine I do, taking certain shots and just whatever would make me feel most comfortable when I was in the game. And for me too, a big thing was always sprinting back to the layup lines. I know for me, it'd be early in my high school years, I was tired early in games, and I never really knew why I was tired early in the game, but I wasn't at the end. And I think it was because I didn't break my wind in warm-ups. So I wasn't working hard enough in warm-ups. So then the time I got older, I realized that and just started to really push myself in warm-ups. So I was sprinting. People used to always ask me why I was sprinting in warm-ups. That's why I was doing it. So that way, when the game started, I was ready to go.
One thing that I noticed now is your routine was kind of reminiscent of Steph Curry's pregame workout that became like a big thing several years back. So I'm curious, did you give that to Steph back in the day when he came right. to the dorm room? Is that did you give him that?
Yeah, I think I gave it to Seth, and Seth must have given it to him.
There you go.
That's probably right. What happened.
So obviously, the state game, things turned out good for you guys. Another state championship. What do you remember most from that game?
Yeah, just a tight game, back and forth game. It was a lower scoring game, which is what Kate does. Kate makes you play ugly, and I know that was not a good feeling for us, as the time of possession was mainly all in Kate's hands. And for us, when we were playing defense for 45 seconds or a minute, just it frustrated us because we wanted the basketball and we wanted to go up and down. So I remember that being tough for us and just playing a different style of game. But again, another game that was tight to the end. I think we ended up winning by 8 or 10 points, but it was a one possession game with 3 or 4 minutes to go.
So graduated with 2 state championships and some more hardware. You were named Mr. Basketball as well. So just curious, that was a goal that you were conscious of and working towards your senior year. Is that something that you had set as a goal in the back of your mind? Or was it one of those things where you were just saying, I'm going to go out there and play, and then eventually it just became part of the conversation as you played really, really well your senior year?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be lying, I think, if I said that I didn't want that and I didn't think about that a lot, because it was definitely growing up, I wanted to be the best basketball player in Maine. That's just what I wanted to be, that guy. And I know just trying to get an award like that, the only thing you can focus on is trying to become better every single day. So if I just focused on becoming better every single day, then I thought that'd give me the best chance at the end of the day to get that award. So really, I wasn't trying to focus on it, but it was something that I wanted, since I was a middle schooler, I wanted to be Mr. Basketball. And I just focused on doing the things I needed to do each and every day to become the best basketball player I could be.
So Mr. Basketball gets crowned at McDonald's All-Star Weekend. So I'm obviously played in that game. So just curious, who were some of the kids in your senior class? I mean, I feel like that was a really, really good time in terms of just talent in the state. Just a ton of talented basketball players up and down the entire state. So just curious, who were some of the kids in your class, and what do you remember from the McDonald's game?
Yeah, obviously Mike Poole and Wilbur Daglin, my team, they both played in the McDonald's game with me. There's Shane Burks from Cape Elizabeth, Chris Noonan from Booth Bay, and yeah, the other Mr. Basketball finalist was John McCallion, like we talked about earlier, from Bangor. He was actually my roommate at UMaine. And then Sam McClair is another really great player out of Winthrop, who played at Bryant and Bentley in college. And Orlando Holmes from Messalonsky. What I remember about that is I entered the dunk contest and I couldn't dunk like in college, but Orlando just picked me up and I dunked it from him picking me up in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
That's actually, I don't remember anything about the game, to be honest with you. But I do remember the dunk contest. I remember being in it. And then the All-Star game was just kind of a blur.
Yeah, and a lot of the guys I've talked to that have played the game, they talk about how the day before you guys practice and you just like the AB versus the CD or whatever, just kind of like like you guys just kind of scrimmage. Just curious if you remember that, and if guys go hard in that scrimmage. I'm curious. I'm guessing the scrimmage is probably more intense than the actual All-Star game itself. Just curious if you remember anything about that.
Yeah, I do, actually. I do, because we were at UMaine, because I remember that's where I wanted to go to school. So I remember we're at the rec center, and that's where we practiced. Because I remember – meeting Kyle Corrigan there too. And so there's some guys like that. It was good to compete against them. And I know for me, just being a competitive guy, I definitely went hard in practice, and I wanted to show everyone there that I was the best player. Because, you know, there are people out there that probably didn't think I deserved Mr. Basketball. It's just the way it is. Or maybe there wasn't. But to me, I wanted to make sure everyone knew that there was no doubt about it that I deserved it. So any chance I could get to prove all those people wrong or to prove those people right, I want to take advantage of that opportunity. And anytime you get a chance to play against the best players in the state, I mean, I think that's what all competitors would want to do.
Absolutely. So you mentioned wanting to go to UMaine. That's the school you wanted to go to. Just curious what your recruitment process was like. How early did school start reaching out to you? I'm guessing it was a goal of yours. I mean, if you want to be the best, you want to play at the best level. So I'm guessing you wanted to be a Division I basketball player. Just curious what the recruitment process was like when school started reaching out to you and how you kind of narrowed down and made your decision.
Yeah, I think after my sophomore year, so going into my junior year, that summer was the first time I started to get some interest from college coaches. And yeah, for me, I just wanted to challenge myself and become the best basketball player I could be. So Division I was the highest level, so that was always a goal of mine. And again, I think what drove me to become a Division I basketball player is the fact that a lot of people saying I couldn't because of my size. So for me, that was just something that drove me every time I was in the driveway doing a workout, anytime I was in the weight room, just driving me to become the best basketball player I could be. And I know Stonehill was the first college that was starting to recruit me, a Division II school, and Franklin Pierce. And then so a lot of schools in that NESCAC conference, Division II conference, started recruiting me first. And then UMaine came to a lot of my games my junior year, and that's when they started to recruit me. And that was the first Division I school. So to me, playing in my home state and a Division I school, that's definitely what I wanted. But I still was looking at other options too. And then I got a few more looks from Vermont and Quinnipiac and some other Division I schools.
So what made the decision for you here? What was the deciding factor when it came down to it?
Yeah, well, there wasn't any Division I schools that offered me a scholarship. I had Division II offers. Vermont was going to have a scholarship possible for me, but then UMaine said that a scholarship was going to be available. But actually, my best friend, John McCallion, he took the one scholarship they had. That was a little tough, but so he took that scholarship. So then I went in with the expectation of getting a scholarship my second year, which I did.
So, and who was the coach at the time? I forget who was running the program at that time.
Ted Woodward.
And who were some of the guys that were there when you came in?
Yeah, some of the main guys were Sean McNally was there, Troy Barneys was there, Sean Costigan, Jordan Cook, and Junior Bernal. So those are the main players. But then also Gerald McMore was one of our better players from San Diego. He's a real good shooter and scorer. Andrew Rogers, the point guard. There are a lot of good players. The 2 years I was at UMaine, we had 21 seasons both years. We beat Boston College 1 year. We brought UConn all the way down to the end. So we played tough against Notre Dame, played against Blake Griffin at Oklahoma. So we played against a lot of big schools, a lot of big names. And really, I thought we were one of the better teams in the America East those 2 years.
What was the biggest adjustment for you going from Class B Maine high school basketball to Division I basketball? And for those that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I could play D1 if I had the chance, this, that. You know, Division I is Division I for a reason. You know, and I'm just curious, you know, what's the biggest difference that you noticed as a player itself making the jump from Maine high school basketball to Division I college basketball?
Yeah, the biggest jump has to be the speed of the game. Speed of the game, the athleticism, the size of the players. I mean, high school basketball, you're playing against guys that are 5'8 to 5'11 at the guard position, but then at Division I, you're seeing guys from 6'1 to 6'5 at the point guard position. And just the length of every single player. And it's almost similar to the same adjustment coming from middle school to a varsity basketball player is just the passing lane shorten up quicker and everything just a little bit faster. So just getting used to that timing at the Division I level. And I know for me too, a big thing was confidence and just not having that confidence early on as a freshman. And that was one of the hardest things is trying to get my confidence back.
You mentioned size and length of the position and one of your teammates just kind of fits out Junior. I remember I worked at camp with Junior and just exactly what you said, like just like size and speed. I mean, even just like at the point guard position, it's a whole other animal once you get to that level.
Yeah. I mean, first, in the fall, we have our basketball workouts, so I'm doing workouts with guys in my position. So it's Junior Bernal is 6'5 with 6'9 arms. I'm 5'9 and 5'6 arms. So it's like two completely different body types. And it was definitely a challenge. And I mean, that's just a huge jump going from high school basketball in Maine to Division I. But I've seen a lot of talent this year. And I think there are definitely some guys in our state now that have the ability to play at that level.
Absolutely. You mentioned only spending 2 years there. So curious, what ultimately came into your mind? What was the decision making when you decided to leave there? And for those who don't know the story, just curious where you wound up and how you wound up there.
Yeah, it was tough for me leaving. But for me, getting my confidence back was hard. I was playing a lot my second year, and I had two turnovers in a row, one game against Binghamton. And I actually didn't play a minute for 8 straight games. And then just trying to get back into that routine of playing. I started playing a little bit again at the end of the season. But it just wasn't a situation that was good for me. And I, at that time, of having 2 years of not playing a lot, and that's not, I mean, I always wanted to play in the NCAA tournament. That was always one of my goals. But then that was really tough leaving that, because that was a goal that I had for so long, to play Division I basketball and to play in the tournament. But I wanted to get back to loving the game of basketball. So talking to a lot of people, talking to my AAU coaches, talking to my parents, and just people that I really respected, they helped me come with the decision of going to a school where I was going to play. And I even passed up on some Division II scholarship to go to Keene State and pay for college, because I wanted to go somewhere where I knew that I was going to be an impact player right off. And Keene State had recruited me out of high school, but they understood that I was going to take the Division I path first. And they kind of always stayed in my ear when I was playing at UMaine. And it was always something I thought about would be an option for me. But what made it a no-brainer, too, is when I transferred to Keene State, there was 6 transfers going to Keene State. And in the entire country that year, there was 18 transfers that went from Division II to Division III. And we had 6 of those. 6 of those and then I was Division I. So we had 5 Division II transfers and 1 Division I transfer going to play Division III. So we were right off the bat in preseason, Keene State was picked number 1 in the country. So just like a no-brainer for me to go there and for me to be an impact player and for me to go there and hopefully win.
Yeah, so you mentioned one of the things was confidence was something that you had to kind of get back after a couple of years playing at D1. Just curious, did it come back quickly once you got to Keene State, or was it one of those things where you had to kind of work through it? Just curious what your adjustment was like once you got there, and curious how it played out for you guys.
Yeah, it actually was a bigger adjustment than I thought. I think just not really getting in that rhythm of playing a lot of games for a couple of years. I mean, I played in spurts at UMaine, but it was never a time where I was in a game for 6, 7, 8 minutes at a time. And at Keene State, I was asked to play almost the full game. So it was an adjustment that I had to make, and it was a harder adjustment than I had pictured. But at Keene State, I think we underachieved. We had a bunch of talent, but this is where I really learned just the importance of team chemistry and the importance of everyone understanding their roles on a team, because we had a lot of guys that wanted to be the scorer, and we just had we had the most talent in the country, but we just couldn't put it together to win basketball games. And I think the physical piece was there, but the mental toughness was not there. There was just definitely some things that are tough looking back at, knowing how good we could have been. But the positive I take out of that is definitely helped me as a coach and realize coaching how important it is to have those guys on your team that are going to be the guys that are going to dive on the floor and get a loose ball for you, to get an extra possession for you. Or a guy like this year, Ethan McMurray on my team at Lake Region, probably a guy that not too many people have heard of, but he was a guy that played 30 minutes a game for us because he just shut down the other team's best player every single game. And just having guys that understand their role, I think, is so crucial to how good a team can be. And for us, like we had all the talent in the world, but just didn't have guys wanting to do their roles.
So another thing you can speak of or speak to as well is, you hear a lot of kids saying, oh, I could go D1 if I had the chance, if I had the opportunity, but they don't understand like how much of a monster D1 is and what it takes to get there. And I think another thing that a lot of kids will say is they'll brush off if you say you went to a D3 school or you're looking at a D3 school. For kids that are quick to brush that off, you know, you played at a team that was preseason ranked number 1. Just talk about the competitive nature of D3 hoops, especially up here in New England. There's a ton of talented schools. Like, just speak to that. Just curious, like the guys you played against and some of the teams you guys went up against.
Yeah, Division III basketball, every player in Division III basketball, they're still the best player in the high school team. I think a lot of kids don't realize that. And, I mean, out of Maine, I think there's maybe 15, 20 players a year that can play college basketball. And so you have to be one of the best players in the state to play college basketball. It's just, it's that hard. And there's just a lot of great players in the country. And, yeah, Keene State was in the Little East Conference, which is ranked as the second best conference in the country for Division III. So we played against USM. USM was actually a bottom team in our conference, but when they played out of conference games, they actually would usually win those. They'd beat the Hussins and the UMFs, but then coming to the Little East Conference, they'd struggle because of how good those Division III teams were in Boston and New Hampshire and New York. And there's just a lot of talent out there that sometimes kids don't realize, but if they don't go out and see it and don't go out and play against it, then really why should they know that?
Exactly. So curious, obviously you're coaching now, but wondering what you did after college, coaching now. Was that something you knew you always wanted to do? Or is it something that just later on down the road, you're like, I feel like I want to get back into basketball? And also just wondering what you did right after college as well.
Yeah. I always wanted to play basketball as long as I could. So the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to play professional basketball. So after college, I went to a couple combines. I didn't want to go to Europe. I wanted to play in the NBL of Canada. That was always my goal. Just it seemed like a league that was just very competitive, and it was a league that was somewhat close to home where some people could come to see me play if they wanted to. And I could stay in touch with my family a little bit better that way too. So I went to a couple combines, and then I got invited to go to the draft. And the draft was one of the coolest experiences I've had with basketball. And just 350 players were at two different tryouts, so a total of 700 players fighting for 30 draft spots. And I remember when they picked the 50 names, so 50 players got picked to go to the – it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the draft was on a Monday night. So 50 of those 700 players got picked to go to the draft. And then I remember just seeing the board before the draft too and seeing all the names of players that and the schools they went to, and I remember being the only Division III name on there. And so it was just – me thinking, like, am I really going to get drafted? Is there a chance of me getting drafted? But then I got picked in the second round. I got drafted 19th, and I played for the Prince Edward Island Storm, and then got traded to play for the Brampton A's, another team in Canada. So I did that for 2 years, and then I played 1 year in the PBL with the Providence Sky Chiefs. But, yeah, I knew – then I had hip surgery in my hip, so that's what ended my basketball career. But I always knew that once my career did end that I wanted to get into coaching. And high school coaching was always the level I wanted to get into too, because I knew I wanted to be a teacher as well. And I mean, I've coached now for 3 years, 2 years at Sanford, and this is my first year at Lake Region. And I just really enjoyed every aspect of coaching.
Shout out to PEI real quick too. For those that don't ever get to Canada, what a beautiful little place right there.
Red Sand and PEI, that was a really cool place.
There you go. How many teams were in that league anyway? I'm just curious. Is it mostly Eastern Canada?
Yeah, so there were eight teams in that league. When I played, there were 10 teams now. There was a team in Moncton, Nichols, Quebec City, I think, had a team. There's Brampton, Ontario. A lot of teams in Ontario. That's where four or five of the teams are in Ontario.
You guys drive by bus for all those games?
Yeah, we drove. Yeah, we had a team bus.
Canada's a big place too. Those are some long bus rides, I'm guessing, right there.
Oh yeah, there was one bus ride, a 24-hour bus ride. So, we lived in that thing.
No doubt. So you mentioned Coach of Lake Region now. Spent a couple of years at Sanford as well. What's been the biggest adjustment for you as coaching? Obviously, when you're a player, you have a little bit more control on the outcome of the game. You actually are hands-on and in the game. Just wondering, what's been the biggest adjustment for you being on the sidelines and, you know, only being able to control so much? Your players still got to go out there and play. What's been the toughest part or biggest adjustment for you?
Yeah, that's right. As a player, I think I was unique in the sense of just how hard I worked as a player. I guess I just wanted it so bad to be a great player. And I was really passionate about basketball. And other kids are passionate about other things that I just wasn't passionate about.
Yeah.
I think for me that the first step was understanding that, and understanding that not every player was going to have the same love of the game that I did when I was growing up. And there wasn't any point in me getting frustrated in that, because just you can't, there's nothing you can do about that. Some players are going to love it more than others, and that's just the way it is. And for a coach, I think it's super important to coach every kid differently, because every kid is different. So that was one of the challenges for me, I know, first starting. And I think it's important for practices to be fun, practices to be competitive. And a big thing that I think a lot of old school coaches do is they really want players to say yes, coach, to everything they teach them. But I think as like the more you learn and the more things I've learned of being a successful coach is you really want players to test you too. And you want players to tell you what they believe and what they think. And if they don't understand why they're doing something, you expect them to talk to you respectfully about that. And I know there's a lot of things that I've learned from my players in 3 years of coaching too, simply just because allowing them to have those conversations with me too.
Just curious. I mean, you mentioned that, the hip injury is what kind of ended your playing career. But right now, if your kids are getting out of line and they're talking a lot of shit, can you still get out there and put them in their place? Can you still show them why you were Mr. Basketball, or is it completely over for you in terms of hooping it up at all right now?
Yeah, you can ask my Lake Region players about that. There's a few times this year where we play one-on-one. So sometimes I still lace up the sneakers.
So before we get up out of here, this is the time of the show where we just get random. I'm just going to ask you a bunch of random questions, and we'll see what we can come up with answers before we get up out of here. So my first question, who was the first player that just gave you the business in high school basketball? Who was the first guy that you matched up against that just gave you work? Looking back, like, oh, shit, like this guy just – he got the best of me tonight.
Oh, man, it was Mancini from Falmouth. Is it Stefano, man?
Yeah. I don't remember the first name. I know the last name, though, but yeah, yeah.
He was a guy, a no-name – like at the time he was a no-name guy because I was a year or two older than him. I think maybe just a year older than him. But I was playing against him in a fall basketball game, and I remember him hitting two or three threes on me in a row, and then he started talking a little smack. I didn't know who this kid was. I just remember being like, oh, I didn't like that at all. But he made a couple good moves on me, took a couple shots right over the top of me, and yeah, he played well. It was a fall league basketball game. I remember I tried to come back on him, and I was missing some shots too. So he got the best of me that game, and never really talked to him about that, but if I get a chance to play him again, I'd love to. And then, I mean, obviously, I guarded Kemba Walker when he was at UConn, so he was tough to guard. But the toughest player I've ever guarded was Tyrese Rice. I don't know if you've heard of that name. He played at Boston
College?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kid was nice.
Yeah, there was a time I was guarding him at the top of the key, and he just took one dribble, a slow dribble, just kind of put me to sleep. And I just didn't think he was going to do anything. And then he crossed over, and all I did was turn around, and he was at the rim laying it in already. So he was just a super quick guard, and he was tough.
I remember it's so random. I had a girlfriend in college who was from Virginia, and Tyrese went to her high school. So, like, she was a senior, and he was a freshman. It's like when we started dating, she's like, this kid's going to BC in a couple of years, and he's going to be the real deal. I just remember watching, like, yeah, like, this kid is nice. Tyrese Rice. How about looking back at the high school days? The toughest opposing gym to go in and play, whether it's the fans, just the gym itself, what's the one gym that just gave you guys nightmares?
I remember Mount View is always a strange place to play. It was like a darker gym, and they just had a rowdy crowd. Plus, the players at Mount View are always hard-nosed players, and they always just made the game sloppy, and they were physical. And I remember going to Mount View, or just that being a tough place to play. The floor was never swept right. It was a slippery floor with a dark gym and just a bunch of tough players and a tough crowd.
How about who had the rowdiest fans? Like, I'm guessing you guys heard it everywhere you guys went because you guys were probably one of the biggest games on everyone's schedule. Do you remember, like, one particular school that just had, like, some rowdy fans?
Yeah, I mean, Mount View obviously was one. I remember when I was a freshman, Winslow – my sister was dating Eric Lopez. So she was a senior when I was a freshman. Eric Lopez was a senior at Winslow. And when we were playing at Winslow, I remember the fans, they chanted Toby's better every time that I touched the ball, and Toby's my sister's name. And I remember that as a 14-year-old kid, that got to me a little bit. But then a few nights later, my sister went to Winslow and they chanted Ryan's better every time she touched the ball. So I just remember Winslow being a tough crowd, Mount View. And there are definitely a lot of tough teams, a lot of tough places to play in KVACB.
About which championship was sweeter, the first one or the second one?
Yeah, I think the same idea that I said earlier. I think the second one was just because, I mean, it was our last year together. And, I mean, we really – that whole season, we really weren't – we weren't going to allow anyone to beat us. We just wanted that so bad, especially from the year before getting knocked out in the first round. And it was just realizing then, too, how tough it is to win a state championship. Being 14, 15 years old, being blessed with a gold ball – we didn't, I don't think we really all understood just how complicated or how challenging it is to get a gold ball. And we were lucky enough to get it as sophomores. But it's tough to do and win a state championship. It's a little bit of luck, a little bit of hard work, a little bit of talent, and it always needs to come together.
All right. I'm going to save my toughest question for last here, and we need an answer for this one. So, obviously, I'm guessing that the game came down to it where, you know, a play needed to be made, as the ball is going to be in your hands. But let's say game's on the line and you can't take the game winner. You had two very talented teammates at your disposal. Who were you going to hit the game winner?
Are you talking about Will or Mike?
Yeah.
That is a tough question. Hopefully they both don't listen to this. But I would say, I mean, I think Mike would understand too. I'd say if I'm going for a game-winning shot, I'm going to give the ball to Will. But with that said, a guy that, I mean, does more in the basketball court, I think, is Mike. Mike is just an overall great basketball player who defends, doesn't turn the basketball over, great pass first point guard. And the thing about Mike, too, is he can score, too, but people don't really know that just because he does those other things for us. But if it's a shot, the ball's going to Will.
Okay. Now we'll do one more. Just keep it going here. Looking back on it, all your basketball days, what's the moment that stands out the most? Obviously, it doesn't need to be like your proudest one, but just like the moment you look back at. Like, if you got to tell a story, because you got a bunch you could pull up from playing professionally in Canada to being at UMaine. You mentioned Blake Griffin, Kemba Walker, some guys you guys went up against, two state championships in high school, a Mr. Basketball Award. What you know, if you got to tell a story, someone says, "Tell me a basketball story." What's the one thing you're going to look back at?
Yeah, well, the best feeling to me is definitely winning those state championships, just because it's a team thing, and just all the hard work that you put together with your friends since you were 5 or 6 years old, and being able to hold that gold ball together as seniors. I mean, I think that's the best feeling because you did it with the team. But if we're talking a best story, I think that the story that I always tell my friends is before we played against Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they were in the locker room to the left side. We were in the locker room to the right side. So they all kind of like filed in the aisle before us, and we're all standing behind them. And Blake Griffin's brother, Taylor Griffin, was next to Blake Griffin before the game started, before we went out for warm-ups. And he was holding on to Blake Griffin's warm-up jersey. And Blake Griffin was running in place and just, like, screaming at the top of his lungs. I don't know if it was, like, a warm-up routine that they used to always do. But standing behind them, I remember being intimidated by that. I just didn't know what was going to happen after that. But then Mark Sacoby, I'm sure you know who that is. Mark
Sacoby. Yeah.
Played at Bangor and then was a really good player at UMaine. He took my hand without me knowing. He took my hand and he placed it on the back of his warm-up jersey, and he started doing the same thing that Blake was doing. And I remember Blake and Taylor just both whipped their heads around and looked at both of us, and I thought they were going to come back and try to fight us. But I remember that was a scary moment before playing against Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you guys made the ESPN highlights that night, but not for the right reasons.
I know, yeah. I remember, yeah, that night we watched, I think it was 3 of the top 10 were Blake Griffin knocking on us.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remember. I think it's on YouTube, too. Not to shit on UMaine or the guys that were there, but go check it out. It's good stuff. Blake was a monster in college. There's no shame in it, you know?
And actually, we were a good team those 2 years, too. So yeah. No shame at all.
So before we get up out of here, I always give the guests a chance to take the floor. If there's anything you want to say, any news you want to break, I'm all about it on Big Time, but if not, whatever you want to say before we get up out of here, I'm going to give you the floor to say one final piece here.
Oh, thanks for having me on here. I've really enjoyed watching basketball the last few years, being a coach and seeing some great players. I know a lot of players, I think, want to become great basketball players so badly. And some of them, I think every player just has different things to focus on. Some players, I think, need to just take a step back and realize that they're playing the game for fun. And becoming a better basketball player doesn't always have to just be work, and it doesn't have to be the grind all the time, but they have to actually enjoy the process. And that's one thing that Kobe Bryant used to always say is about how he became a great basketball player, because he enjoyed the grind. He enjoyed the process. And becoming a better basketball player, it's not easy. It doesn't just go like that all the time. There's, you know, ups and downs. And just the great players are the ones who stick through the downs, and they keep fighting. They keep trying to get better. But at the end of the day, just enjoying the process, enjoying every moment.
Absolutely. I'm 33. And like, if I want to have a good workout, I just go in the gym and I get shots up still today. Like that's the way to do it. You know, basketball should be fun. And it still is.
Exactly. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. So thank you to Ryan for coming through here. It's a guy I had circled for a while here, and I'm glad he did it. So thank you for coming through and doing this. Make sure everyone's going and checking out all the previous episodes on YouTube for the video podcast, audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. We're all over the place. So check those out. And we'll see you next time with another big episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Thank you.